time of worship today. Hope it's been not just enjoying, but it's been something that has spoken to your heart. I'd ask if you've got a copy of your scriptures today, go ahead and grab that. If you don't have one, go and grab a Bible that's in front of you. We're going to be on page 801, if you need to know where that is. And we're looking in Romans chapter 8. We've been looking and talking and seeking God's guidance over the last several weeks as Dr. Sloan has talked to us about when life happens. And we've been speaking specifically about times of despair, about times of weakness, about times of suffering. We've been talking about times of conflict, just times that we feel weak in our lives and we don't have the strength to go on. And what do we do? How do we deal with those things? How do we cope with those situations? And today we're just going to kind of wrap that up as we've done that this morning. As the table has been a physical, has been a tangible representation of the place that we should turn to when life happens. When things just feel like that we just don't know where they're going. We don't have a clue. We just feel like Jeff talked earlier about the church and the city that had been bombed by the German army. When we just feel like we've got to just start picking up the pieces, what do we do? And Paul asks us in this scripture this morning, asks us as the church, as he asks the Christians that were in the church in Rome. He asks us, and he starts off very plainly in verse 31. And if you want to turn there, we're going to look at that. And he asks them the question that we pose to ourselves today. He says, what then shall we say in response to this? What then shall we say when life falls to pieces all around us? Let's stand together and let's read this text, if you would join me. We're going to start in verse 31 of chapter 8. It says, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Go ahead and be seated. You see, Paul asked us that question, the question that we have to answer today. And hopefully today, before you walk out these doors, before you go to eat lunch at Freebirds or wherever your normal Sunday place is, students, before you send that next text message after we get done, or before you update your Facebook status, you are going to have to answer this question today about what do you do and where do you turn when life falls to pieces all around you. Because it happens to all of us. Every day, in some form or fashion, every week, every month, in some way, we are faced with the point that Paul is giving to the church in Rome. And he asks us to demonstrate with our lives this assurance, this certainty that Jesus has promised us through life in him. We just demonstrated that as we came to the table, as we experienced communion together, as we experienced taking the elements together. You demonstrated in some form or fashion that you have some belief, that you have some faith, that you have some assurance that Jesus has provided for you, that when life happens, that He is the place that you will turn. And the question that we have to answer today is that truly, when we leave this place, is that true? We just sang a song about God is mighty to save. But do we live our lives like that? Do we truly walk out these doors and go to school or go to our summer activities or go to work or go to the things that we do and live our lives with the assurance of who Jesus is? And that's what the question that Paul is asking to the church in Rome, and I think that he poses to us today. In verse 31, Paul just kind of lays it all out to the church in Rome. And we got to put ourselves in this picture and try to put yourself in the picture of the people at Rome. You see, because he's not just saying this to the church. He's asking them to think. He's asking them to truly answer this question. Because what does he do in the scripture? He doesn't just start making statements. He doesn't just start saying, this is how you do it, and this is what you do, and these are the steps that you take. That would be nice, wouldn't it? It would be nice for us to put a list of bullets up on the screen and for God just to give us a list of bullets so that we can, especially for a personality like myself, if you've got a to-do list that's 2 miles long, man, you can just check this off and you can just check this off and you can just check this off. That would make it really easy for us, wouldn't it? But you see, Paul doesn't do that. And I don't think that's the way God works. Paul asked the church in Rome, he asked them a question. He asked them a series of questions. And he says, first of all, he says, what then shall you do in response to this? And then look what he does in verse 31. He keeps going on. Now, this is a question. This is not a statement. He says, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? You see, he's talking about this assurance again, and he's asking the church in Rome to answer the question themselves. The question that we answer today. I think that Paul's kind of just, he's kind of laying it out to the church in Rome. I think he's kind of giving them a little spanking maybe. He's going, remember who you are, people. Remember this life that Christ has promised to you. And look what he says after he finishes, if God is for us, who can be against us? Then he goes back and he reemphasizes what God has given to us and what Jesus did for us. The end of verse 32, he says, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? This is the God who sacrificed his only son, as we just celebrated, as we just remembered. And he said, remember who you are. He's kind of asking the church in Rome, he's saying, at what point are you guys going to step up and demonstrate in your lives this assurance that Jesus has promised you? What's it going to take for you? When are you going to do this? I was reminded of this faith that we had some point that we have to demonstrate. This trust that we have to put in God. A couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity and I was reminded of this faith that eventually we have to demonstrate and we have to place our trust in God. A couple of weeks ago, I was in China and I was doing a little research for our church, some future opportunities, hopefully. And we went to this little small town of about 12 million people. And we flew in. This is after we had flown into the big city in China. And we'd gone to the international airport. Then we had changed airports. And we go to this little domestic airport. They have international and then they have domestic airports. And most of us wouldn't call it an airport. But it was interesting. And China was just interesting altogether. Lots of food that you just got to stay away from. And lots of culture there that I was fortunate that I got to experience that. But it was just interesting, to say the least. I could tell you all about it sometime. But so we're on this flight, and we're on our way back. There again, we go to this city, like a little city of 12 million people. Has 5 gates in the airport. 5 gates. So it's not one of these that you walk out on the jetway where you walk in and you just walk directly into the plane. It's one of these, and maybe some of you have experienced this, you actually push the steps up to the side of the plane, and then you actually walk out on the runway, and you know, you've got trucks and cars and planes and everything driving all around you, and you actually step up on these stairs and you walk into the plane. And it was amazing to me, and I was reminded of this situation as I read, as I thought through the experience in China, that all of these people that were around us, they were taking pictures of themselves as they, these people that were with them, they were taking pictures of themselves as they walked up the stairs. And they were happy, and they had these big smiles on their face. And they just, you know, it was something that you could just tell. It was interesting. You were going, had these people really never flown before? Now, some of you in here, you may have never flown before. That's okay. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Verse 1, chapter 8. That's okay. But I was reminded of the first time that I flew on an airplane. And these people, you could tell that they had never flown before, because not only did were they taking pictures of themselves, they walked up, they were taking pictures and they were standing in the aisle, standing by their seat, and they were looking at their car, their boarding card, and they were trying to figure out, does the number mean the row or does the letter mean the row? And you could tell in Chinese, you could tell that the flight attendant was having to tell them where to go and what seat to sit in and how, no, you got to go further, and no, this is your seat. You could just tell by the way they were acting. So it's very obvious these people had never flown before. And I thought back to the first time that I'd flown. I don't understand how a plane works. Some of you understand that. I respect you greatly. Some of you actually fly. That's really, I respect that. But I don't know how that works. And at some point, when those people, and when I got on a plane for the first time, I had to demonstrate an incredible amount of trust and faith and reliance that those people in that cockpit, and that this mechanical piece that's about to go thousands of feet up in the air is going to provide for my needs. Because I am here and I want to go there. There's an incredible amount of trust that goes into, ladies and gentlemen, we're ready to take off. There is. I mean, just think about it. Do you pack a parachute when you get on the plane? Do you take one with you? No. At some point, you have to, and you've decided in your life that you're going to place your faith and your trust that when you go to an airport, that plane is going to make it there. And that those people know what they're doing. And I think that God is calling us to place that same amount of unabandoned, I don't know what's going to happen. I pray, God, that you're in control of this. I don't know where really we're going. I mean, do you really know where you're going when you're flying? We have to place that same amount of unabandoned, uninhibited trust in the assurance that Jesus has provided for us with our lives as we go out and as we live on a daily basis. At some point, we have to step out. And that's the question that Paul is asking us, that he asked the church in Rome, that he's asking us this morning. You see, Paul asks a series of questions, and he asks them continually, and you can read through those next few verses, and he says, where will you turn? Will you turn to your intellect? Will you turn to the law? Will you turn to these places for your assurance in life? Or will you turn to the love of Jesus Christ that brings a certainty, maybe not the way we want it, but that brings a loyalty that some of us have never experienced before in our lives from individuals. And it puts us in a place to know that we may not know exactly where we're going, but God does. Do we live out that assurance on a daily basis? You see, and then Paul goes and he just kind of gets forward with some statements here in verse 37. You see, because the question to us is not really, do we believe in that assurance? But it's how do we live that? Because I think we would all say that we believe that. We all sing songs, we read the scriptures, we participate in communion. But you see, Paul asked the people in Rome, the question. And he makes a statement. He says, no, he says, in all these things, in verse 37, look at it with me. He says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. You see, this is a word, this conquering word is a word that the people in Rome would have understood. Now, if you remember your history, students, I won't ask you to give any updates for us, okay? But if I did, you could probably come up here and you could talk about the people of Rome and the government of Rome. And what did they do? They continued to conquer. They continued to take over lands. And this is a word that the people in Rome would understand. And I think it's a word that we can understand also. Because you see, Paul doesn't just say, well, you don't have anything to live for. You really don't have any assurance. You see, he puts this statement at the end of this passage to promise us, to help us to understand where the assurance of Jesus Christ is. And he keeps on going as he says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Verse 38, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, God tells us that nothing will separate us from His love. But I don't know that I actually live that way all the time. I don't know that I really truly put into practice that I believe that no matter what I say, no matter what I do, no matter where I've been, no matter the things I've done, the choices that I've made already, or the choices that I will make in the future, that I truly believe and exhibit every moment of my life that I will never be separated from the love of God. I don't know that we do that. And I know that there has to be somebody in this room, enough people in this place, that there is somebody that's thinking in their head and somebody has this thought that's been put in their mind that you don't know where I've been and you don't know what I've done. And you don't know what I think. And you don't know what I have thought. But you know what? I think it's covered. And it's not covered by something that we can control. It's not controlled by something that we can change. It's only through the love of Jesus. It's only through the love of God that we can come, no matter where we've been or no matter what we've done or no matter what we will do, to approach God. But more importantly for us as the church, as followers of Christ, it's more importantly to us, I think, this morning, not only do we have to ask the question about how do we exhibit our own assurance, but what in our lives helps us or helps others to experience that same assurance in Christ? How do you demonstrate your own assurance that others see that in your life and that they long, they desire to have what you exhibit? Where do we do that? And how do we do that? I don't know that I have the answer for you this morning, unfortunately. But I do know that that's what God is calling us to do. He is calling us to be more than conquerors in life. He is calling us to demonstrate the assurance of Jesus in our lives like we've never done before. He's calling us to answer the question about what then shall we say when life falls apart for us, when life falls apart for others. And let me ask you, when you do encounter someone whose life is falling to pieces and they come to you, what is your immediate response? Is your immediate response to just fix them and to fix their problem? Well, let me help you with this, and 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 let me help you with this. Or is our immediate response to turn them to this scripture right here and to help them to come to a place where they can experience what true life is and that they can truly pick up the pieces for eternity, not just for a few minutes, or not just for a few months, or not just for a few years, but that they can experience the assurance that Jesus gives to us and that he's promised us. What then shall we say in response to the life that God has given us? What then shall we do in response to the life he's given us? How will we live in response to the life and the assurance that Jesus has promised us through his sacrifice and through his word? Let's pray together. Jesus, we just need you this morning. We need you to help us to understand. We need you to help us know how to deal with things. We just need a portion of your grace, God, that we just can't even imagine. And so this morning we just come to you, knowing that you will provide for us. Not how we draw it up, or not how we've dreamt, or not how we've seen on TV that life exhibits we've got it all together. But God, that it would be through your assurance. And so God, we just come to you not just seeking you, Father, but just longing to hear from you. Longing for you to help us to demonstrate that assurance when we leave this place to those who need desperately to know that you love them. Speak to us this morning, God. As we sing this last song, just like for us to respond in a different way. Ask Rob and the guys to just play and lead us in a song of worship. And maybe this morning, you just need to just sit quietly and just to figure out what God's speaking to you about. Maybe you just need to stand and lift your hands as we sing about the sacrifice that Jesus gave to us. Maybe you need to come to these steps, this altar, just seeking God's direction and asking him to show you the pieces that you need to pick up and how to do that. Maybe you want to grab somebody that's around you and just take a minute to pray and to ask them to pray for you. Let me just ask you this morning to respond in the way that God is leading you to respond. In true surrender of the assurance that he's given to us.